European countries are struggling to contain a second wave of COVID-19 infections. Spain confirming a new lockdown in its capital, Madrid, and France on the verge of closing restaurants and bars in Paris. Across the Channel, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is trying to avoid a full lockdown there as cases surge again. Italy, Europe's coronavirus epicentre 7 months ago, however, appears to be having the most success of containing case numbers. The threat of a second wave looms large, though, with Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte moving overnight to extend the country's state of emergency until January next year. Eric Silvers is the Wall Street Journal's Milan correspondent. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hi, how are you?
How does the Italian situation compare with the rest of Europe currently? It was really the basket case for quite some time.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But then here we had a really long and harsh and heavily regulated lockdown. And it seems at this point, even though we're many months since it's opening up, the consensus among the experts here is that Italy is still reaping the benefits of this very serious and long lockdown. So as you were mentioning some of the situation in the other European countries, here life is largely kind of this new normal. I mean, there's lots of mask wearing, lots of gel all over the place, and social distancing, and so on. But you know, restaurants are open, kids are going to school, and so on. So I'd say that the risk is high because we're talking, and it's obviously still evening here in Italy. This is the day with the highest number of infections since April. So I mean, you know, Italy is by no means out of the woods, and everybody's worried about flu season and so on. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but the infection rate, which obviously is a very important number to look at, not just the number of infections, but the rate. And the rate here has hung around 2% for a while, for at least a month, you know, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, sort of, you know, puts 5% as the rate when countries can start opening up if they've locked down. So Italy is still, still in what I think would be a safe area. But I mean, people are on edge here. Schools have been opening in stages in the different regions over the past couple of weeks. So we don't really know exactly, you know, it's a bit too early to know, you know, if kids are going to be bringing that back home. And, you know, as some of your listeners might know, Italy is a country where there's quite a few households that have often three generations living together, maybe the kids, the parents, and the grandparents, you know, so everybody is sort of watching closely to see what happens in the coming weeks.
And when you say it's the highest caseload per day in some time, I think it's just past 2,000 daily cases, is that right?
Yeah, it was around 2,500, and we've been traveling around, you know, 1,500, 1,600. But again, that's based on more tests than in recent days. So the infection rate, you know, the percent of tests that come back positive is still around 2%. So there hasn't been a big jump there, actually.
So is it just a cultural shift that's occurred in Italy that's enabling it to do better than other European countries? Because I note that the testing rate isn't exceptionally high. It's actually lower than the UK. Is it the testing and tracing facilities in place? What's helping Italy keep the numbers comparatively low?
Well, that's obviously the key question. The consensus is that it's a combination of things. What you mentioned, the tracing. Well, first let's start with the testing. The testing. Italy has upped its numbers considerably since the dark days of March and April. And like you said, it's not as high as some other countries, but it's gone up to what most experts think is a reasonable level. I mean, everybody is calling for more, but it's considered to be a reasonable level. The tracing also is playing a very key role. The National Health Service here, the National Health Organization here in Italy, they say that 2/3 of confirmed infections are coming from tracing, you know, rather than people who are coming in with symptoms. So that's an indication that they're getting, you know, it's hard to know how many. I mean, there are estimates here that they may be getting as much as 80, maybe 85% of infections are getting caught up in the net. And then, of course, there's Italians seem to have been seem to have embraced. I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, and it depends on age groups and so on. But there has been really large acceptance of mask wearing here in Italy. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm American, and as I'm sure you know, everybody's aware by now. You know, there it's become like an issue of the culture wars in the U.S. Here, it's not really up for discussion. I mean, there you know, there's left parties, right parties, center parties. Everybody has more or less embraced the mask wearing, and as we all know now, it seems that's one of the key things that we can do, obviously, along with social distancing, to keep the rates down. So it seems like that. But you know, I mean, the schools I mentioned, the schools are opening. That they've been really, really, really rigorous about social distancing in the school, about mask wearing, and so on. But if you happen to be in front of a school before it starts or when it comes out, the kids are doing anything but social distancing, and a lot of masks are pulled down to the chin and so on. So you know, it's not perfect, but I mean, the impression one gets if you go around here is that, at least for the time being, Italians are still relatively careful as far as, you know, anti-COVID measures that they're taking.
And briefly, if you could, Eric Silvers, how much of this approach do you think is informed by the terrible experience that Italians collectively shared earlier in the year, a sort of a scarring, if you like?
Yeah, no, I think you're pointing at a very important point. Absolutely. I mean, the people that I've spoke to both in my personal life and for my job here as, you know, as a reporter, everybody mentions that. I mean, it was really incredible in March and in early April. I mean, there are scenes that one scene in particular, which was Bergamo, which, you know, was sort of the epicenter here in Italy when Italy was sort of the focus of COVID in the whole world. There was a day when army trucks had to take away the coffins so that they could be cremated in other cities because there was no space in the crematorium. They didn't know where to put the bodies and so on. And that's sort of an image that I think has been burnt into everybody's collective imagination here. And I think that sort of informs, you know, some of what I was talking before about the social distancing, the masks and so on.
Eric Silvers, thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Anytime.
Eric Silvers is the Wall Street Journal's Milan correspondent.